Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But right now, we go to the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Check in with Derek Wetmore from the Score North Twin Show. Derek Freems has the privilege of working with our former coworker, Rami Makhlouf. Derek, thanks for joining us, and we're sorry about having to see Rami every day.
No, thank you for having me, and it's an absolute privilege.
Tell you what, I do not dislike the Twins like I dislike the Minnesota Vikings. I covered the 87 World Series and the 91 up there, and those are great times in the old Metrodome. I was there for both clinchers. And I try to separate the Twins, and I never looked at this Twins Brewer rivalry as you know, like intense like the Brewers and White Sox were over the years, or the Brewers and the Cubs. But you know, all that said, the Twins are fading a little bit. I mean, you look at their record; they're still like 24, 25 games over the 500 mark. But Cleveland has caught them, and the Twins are now in second place for the first time since like mid-April.
Yeah, it's been a remarkable turn of fortunes. I guess I agree with you. I think it's a bit of a fake rivalry. If it was a real rivalry, wouldn't they get it on weekends? But enough about that, because they've got the 2020 midweek slate as well. Never made sense to me. Both fan bases travel well. But I guess I'd just correct. I'd say it's more that the Indians have surged than that the Twins have faded, because the Twins jumped out to a huge, huge lead in the division. They were up to 11.5 games at one point. And since that point in early June, they've been playing about 500 ball. I think they're 31-29 in that time. But Cleveland just, again, last night, they just can't find a way to lose a ball game ever. They're winning more than 70% of their games, and that's what's really closed the gap. The Twins jumped out to an early lead. Cleveland has soared back just as fast. So it's been an incredible race to this point.
Derek, what's the mood like with the fan base? Because it seemed like this was finally the year the Indians would regress, take a step back, and then they come in, they take 3 of 4 from the Twins. So what's the mood like with your fans? Because here in Milwaukee, when the Brewers are swept by the Cubs in a series, things are usually rough on a Monday morning.
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair way to characterize it. Panic would be the word that I would use. A lot of people disappointed they didn't go out and add a starting pitcher at the trade deadline. They did get two relievers, but then, of course, Sam Dyson pitched two games for the Twins, and turns out he was hurt. So he's on the injured list right now. Could come back soon, and that would help their bullpen out quite a bit. But, yeah, I would say a lot of fans are disappointed they didn't add more pitching, and some of them saying this is kind of you reap what you sow by not going and make that addition. You almost earned the collapse. I'm not quite there yet as a, you know, objective host of the Score North Twin Show. We still think that the Twins have a fairly decent shot to win this division, but boy, it does get tougher by the day when you see every time you look up at the scoreboard and Cleveland's winning again and pitching 7 shutout innings from their starter.
Yeah, the Twins, I mean, they made a managerial switch. They got rid of my guy, Paul Molitor. And, you know, I love Molly. I thought he was going to be a great manager. But the managerial switch turned out to be the right move for them.
Yeah, I'm a big Molly guy. I think he's one of the smartest baseball people I've ever been around. And Rocco Baldelli in his first year he's proved to be a good sort of connector is the way I describe it. He's very empathetic. He understands where everyone's coming from. I think he does run a clean ship, if that makes any sense. I don't really like the metaphor, but anytime we went looking for a reason, hey, Paul Molitor went to the playoffs, AL Manager of the year before, you're really going to move on from him just a year later. There was never a specific reason given. It was all more, well, you know, today's player needs a certain type of leader, of motivator. And I guess I don't know what the primary difference that they were looking for, but if I had to call it from the outside, I'd say the biggest difference between Paul Molitor and Rocco Baldelli is how much energy and attention Rocco puts into connecting with people, whether it's the 25th guy on the roster or if it's the taxi squad arm that's here for the weekend. He is all the way up to the top guy, Nelson Cruz. He is very mindful of how he connects with players, and I'd say that's been a good look for the Twins so far.
We're talking with Derek Wetmore from Score North in Minnesota. Derek, you just mentioned Nelson Cruz, and it looks like the team dodged a bullet with that wrist injury, so he'll rejoin the team for this series with the Brewers. How do you explain what he's doing this season? He's 39 years old. I thought he was going to be like a mentor on the team, and here he is. He's got 32 homers and 76 RBIs.
It's incredible. There's no way to describe it. We were fortunate enough to have Jim Thome towards the tail end of his career. I think he was 38, 39 when he signed on with the Twins in 2010, I believe, yep. Was the season. And what a power display he put on. Nelson Cruz, same age, even more impressive. I mean, you can say what you want about the baseball and all that, and the game's slightly different now than it was 10 years ago, but the Nelson Cruz impact on the lineup, I would say, has been just as big, if not bigger, than on the clubhouse. And that's not to take anything away from what he's done in there. I do think he's one of their emotional leaders. Just a great, great signing for the Twins to get this guy with that power production, like $14.5 million, and they got a team option for 12 next year. Well, that's looking like a no-brainer. Really shrewd signing late in his career, and I don't have a great explanation for how he's able to defy those typical aging curves, but he sure has, and he's done it with big-time power.
Yeah, I think the Twins are going to the playoffs regardless. Even if they don't win this division, which I still think they're the better team between them and the Indians. I'm pulling for the Twins to win that division, but they're still going to the postseason regardless, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that if you're in the Twins' perspective, you'd much, much rather win that division so you do get to host some games at Target Field rather than take a chance in what I think a lot of baseball executives these days, the wild card game, I think they view that as a coin flip, and rightfully so. We've seen 95, 96, 97 win teams bow out of the postseason after just one game. So here the Twins, huge, huge attention on these final 44 games here, starting with the Brewers, of course, tonight. That is all that's between you and hosting games at Target Field, and we know that's been a while since they've been able to do that.
Derek Wetmore joining us. He is the co-host of Score North Twin Show on Score North, obviously. And Derek, so what should the Brewers expect tonight from Martin Perez? He makes his first start ever at Miller Park. He's only faced the Brewers one time in his career, so we don't know a whole bunch about him, but he's only won once in his last 12 starts. It looks like he's struggling a little bit.
Yeah, his last 12 starts, I think it's on like a 6-plus CRA. Yikes. If you maybe have the numbers in front of you. It's been bad, and actually, with an off day Monday, there were a lot of people who thought, well, that's a perfect excuse to skip Martin Perez's spot in the rotation. And the Twins said, nope, he's going to start game one against the Brewers. So I think there were a couple of people surprised by that revelation. In terms of what he is, he's a different pitcher this year than he's been in the past. The first, 6 weeks of the season, we were joking around calling him Johan Santana 2.0 because, I mean, he was mowing him down, lights out every single night. Fastball from the left side, 95 miles an hour. He added a cut fastball that was getting a lot of swing and miss, and the changeup was an effective pitch for him, too. So we were kind of, joking around. This is Johan 2.0. And, the last dozen starts just have not been the same. Not as many strikes, more walks. He's not swinging and missing as much, or getting as many swing and miss, I should say. And the ERA, as a result, is just up over 6. There have been a couple games where he started that the Twins just weren't even in the game. They didn't have a shot from the get-go. So from a Twins perspective, what are you looking for? Hopefully just a representative start. Get you, 5, maybe 6 innings, get into that bullpen, and keep it close. Keep the game within reach, which for these bats always seems to be. But you can't have one of those outings where you give up 6 runs in 3 innings and turn it over for a long bullpen game. It's tough for me to answer. What are you going to get? There's a difference between what the Twins are hoping for and what Perez has given them the last dozen outings.
Derek, thanks a lot, man. Hopefully we can maybe meet in the World Series. Both of these teams kind of like identical versions of themselves right now, although you guys got a much better record. So maybe we could meet in the World Series and renew this rivalry.
That'd be a ton of fun, and I look forward to talking to you guys before that happens.
Thanks a lot, buddy. That was Derek Wetmore. You can find him at Derek Wetmore on Twitter. Find his work on Score North. And he joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1930. 35.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.